you know, you've done this a long time, and apparently this is normal how San Fran operates. Just kind of what do you make of it?
Well, there are a few reasons why you would do it this way. You know, I think, first of all, it's obviously efficient. And, you know, you're spending a lot of time in draft meetings this time of year and on the road this time of year. And so, you know, like, and you got coaches who, you know, are have the off-season program started. So, you know, to be able to knock this out all at once is efficient, right? Like, so that's part of it. You know, the quarterbacks themselves, you've already seen them in a lot of different settings. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about all the different touch points they've had, there's the private workouts, there's the pro days on campus, there's dinners connected to that, there's the combine, which is a shorter one, but you're there, and then you're allowed three Zooms, which each with each prospect at about an hour apiece. So, you know, you've already really gotten to know the quarterbacks and see the quarterbacks in a lot of different settings, and, you know, a lot of times the 30 visit, the main function of it is to see them in your environment, right? And see how they kind of operate in your environment and how they interact with people. And, you know, I think that what this does is it puts them around their peers and you're going to get a real life look at how they're interacting with people around them in a stressful situation. You know, in a situation where there's a lot on the line, right? So how are they treating people that are in the same situation as them? How are they interacting with them? How are they leading, you know, maybe in some of these situations? You know, I think it's an interesting way to do it. You know, there's different ways that these are handled. But, I mean, look, like a lot of teams will bring five or six guys in at once, right? Like, and like they'll do like 5 days of that, right? Like, so, I mean, your attention is usually going to be splitting these things anyway a little bit. So I can understand why you would want to do it this way. And you are going to get individual time with the quarterbacks during the day-to-day. Here's the other part of it. It allows you to do this at the very end of the process with everyone, right? So today is the last day it's allowed. Today is the last day you're allowed to have this. So, you know, when you bring these guys in, at this point of the process, you're going to have the most complete information on them. So if you need to follow up on anything, if you need to look them in the eye on anything, there's anything like that, like then you're going to get these guys at the absolute last point that you can get them face to face. So yeah, I think for a lot of different reasons, it makes sense. And look, like there are some drawbacks certainly, you know, and you know, having the quarterback out to dinner one-on-one, like the, you know, the Bears, you know, when they brought six guys in to Lake Forest and Caleb Williams was one of them, they took Caleb Williams to a separate restaurant, right? So that's a different way to do it where, you're getting that intimate time with them, but you know there is benefit to doing it this way as well. I don't think there's any right or wrong answer to the question.
Yeah, and I think this way, basically, if you're a team and you're trying to do some stuff, you don't want to have people writing all these stories about who you're leaning towards. Do it like this.
Yeah. And you know what, Beamish? The other part about this, I think personally, is like, I mean, look, like, I don't think there's a chance in hell they're trading the pick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you do show interest in all of them, you're at least going to probably get other teams that might be scared you're taking Drake May or you're scared you're taking J.J. McCarthy, at least pick up the phone and make a call. And so it's also a way of getting you the most, I would say, full picture of the landscape and what people are willing to offer for the second overall pick as well, you know? So, like, cause a lot of people have asked me that, like, well, what would the benefit be for the Commanders to be so secretive about who they're taking? And listen, there are people in the building, I can tell you, that, you know, like, don't know what AP and DQ are thinking.
Right.
They've been very, you know, they've sort of kept it to a very small circle, you know, and where they're leaning and what they're looking at. What would the benefit of that be when you know who's going number one and you have the second pick? Well, you know, I do think it there is some benefit in, you know, team X, Y, and Z picking up the phone and giving me a call because they think you might be taking their guy and maybe offering you something. So you at least know what's out there for you and what's out there for the pick.
Well, and one thing that kind of stood out to me as you were explaining that, we're talking with Albert Breer from Sports Illustrated. You can follow him at Albert Breer, B-R-E-E-R. One thing... If they're getting all four of the top quarterback prospects on the last possible day prospects are allowed to visit, it also means they're not going somewhere else and, like, kind of lets them control it a little bit.
Yeah. And I mean, look, like, they're going to be able to – I mean, and this is just part of it. Like, they can kind of glean what some other teams are thinking too, you know, from doing it that way. I mean, like, they, I mean, look, there's a lot of time spent, right? Like, so you might get an idea of what team X, Y, or Z is thinking, you know. Maybe Michael Penix gives you an idea of teams that might be interested in him. And if Penix were to slide, say, to the top of the second round, maybe you know who likes him now, and you pick up the phone and you make phone calls to that team to try and see if you can get a trade with that team. You know, it's just a lot of different reasons why it can benefit you doing it this way.
Yeah, and it's consistent with what Peters has said, that, like, he doesn't intend to be in on everything, but he wants to at least know everything going on around the league, and this is kind of consistent with that. I'm curious, do you see this? I don't really see any surprises, despite all the crazy discussions. I think it's Caleb, then Jaden. Do you kind of see the same thing?
Yeah, I think it's Caleb and Jaden, and if I had to put money on it, I would say Drake goes three. I'm not positive who's going to make that pick. I think chances are it's New England sticking and picking, but could I see, you know, Minnesota or the Giants coming up for Drake? I certainly could see that. I think both those teams like Drake. So, you know, I think Drake winds up going three, you know, and then, you know, I think JJ probably goes somewhere in the top six. Penix, I think, as the coaches have gotten more involved in the process, and as you guys know, you know, the coaches really are pretty far behind the scouts, you know, in January and February when they're just starting to dig in. As the coaches have kind of studied up and gotten more involved in the process across the league, I feel like Penix has gained a little steam. I hate the term rising up draft boards because it doesn't really freaking exist. You know what I mean? But it's just like, it's usually just the rest of us catching up to what teams think. But I do think in this case, like, you know, Penix has been helped by the coaches getting more involved in the process. I think the coaches, you know, on balance across the league, really do like Penix.
You know, the quarterback position, and when you start looking at the draft, is normally the most exciting. I think the receiver position is getting that way this year. I think we basically have an idea of what's going to happen with the top guys. And I think right now the receiver thing with Neighbors and also Harrison, that's starting to heat up a little bit more and bringing some excitement over there.
Yeah, and, you know, what's interesting about it is I do think, like, if you look at this, there's a chance, and I'm not saying it's a great one, but there's a scenario where you might not see a defensive player picked in the top 10. And I think Dallas Turner gets in there, like, probably at 8, maybe to the Falcons, but you know, when you look at the four, if you assume the four quarterbacks are going to go in the top 10, and then probably three receivers in the top 10, right? Like Harrison and Neighbors, certainly probably a Dunze too. You know, now you're up to 7, and then you got some teams that need tackles. Joe Alt, I think, is a lock to go in the top 10. Now you're at 8. And then, like, Olufoshanu, Brock Bowers, now you're at 10, you know? And so I don't think it's likely that it's going to be all offensive players in the top 10, but I don't think that that's an impossible scenario. Again, my guess would be Dallas Turner goes somewhere in the top 10, but it's going to be very, very offense heavy at the top of the draft.
Yeah, for sure. Yo, Bert, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. I know you're going to be swamped next couple weeks. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
All right.